According to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, good evening. We have a little different item on our agenda for tonight. I'm going to give a report on the last 2 weeks and missionary travels to the Ukraine. Got a map up there and ready to go. Got a photo directory ready to show you as well. Simply called 2009 Kiev or Kiev 2009. Where'd it go? Oh, there it is. Yeah. I also have photos from 05 and 07 ready to go too, but we won't run through them all. I grabbed a handful of the ones from previous years just to give some context for things in what we're doing. I guess we'll start here. Yeah, the folder re-alphabetizes things based on things. That's all right. All right. If you brought a Bible or not, you can just listen, but I think about in Matthew, when he called his first disciples, and where do I want to read from? When he calls them and tells them they're going to be fishers of men, and I think about the looking at Matthew 4 at the moment, verses 18 and following. This was a passage that struck me a number of years ago, and I thought about it as a priority, thought about it as an interesting pattern for training, because that's what Jesus had, was a training ministry. And beyond, obviously, the purpose of his death and going to the cross and paying the penalty for our sins, the purpose for his life was to reveal the Father and teach the Word of God and to train disciples, to train these men that would then become apostles, that would then become the leaders of the church. And so much of what we learn in the life of Christ is we learn about training ministries. And we read in Matthew 4, as Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And a similar story with James and John. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And as I got to thinking about it and praying over it and considering the details of this text, I realized that he was calling these men to pursue full-time ministry as students. In other words, they were leaving their secular careers of fishing, not to become pastors or not to become speakers, but to become students. And we think about different patterns of things where guys end up working through school or working their way through seminary or training and whatnot, and they don't start drawing a salary, or they don't start receiving support, as it were, Christian support, grace ministry support, until they're done with their training. And then once they're graduated with a degree and ordained and installed in a church, well, then maybe then, you know, they're worthy of support, as it were. And that's not the pattern that we have here. The pattern is they were supported from the beginning. And as a matter of fact, they were part of Jesus' support, because everyone that supported Jesus, the leading women and others that supported his ministry, were supporting him and those that he was training. And I got to thinking about that and thought, you know, that is a beautiful pattern, a biblical pattern for what we could do or not to do if the Lord was to bless this training ministry, for example, and being able to do that. And lo and behold, when I first started to become aware of Jim Myers and their ministry in Ukraine, found out about their training ministry in Kiev, come to find out that this is exactly their approach. That not only do we support Jim Myers on a monthly basis as one of our regular supported missionaries, but Jim Myers supports missionaries himself, including the present students, of which there are 10 currently in the school, every one of which is supported by James F. Myers Ministry. They attend the classes full time. They're not permitted to work outside the school because their time is to be spent studying and serving in ministry. And they're housed in apartments or places that's paid for by Jim and the ministry there. And it's just an amazing pattern. And then they graduate and they move forth and they do some of their ministries and they're supported as missionaries going forth. So there's a lot that goes on that we don't entirely understand until we get all the details of it. And I hope to share some of them with you here tonight. And then the good news is sometime in June or possibly July, sometime this summer, Jim and Phyllis will be traveling the States and we've got them lined up to be coming here in Austin at some point. So we look forward to hearing from them directly. Until then, of course, you can listen to what I say and pray over these matters here. The Ukraine, we've talked about a couple times, used to be in the former Soviet Union. It's now a free and independent country, has been since about 1992, I think, when the Soviet Union dissolved and many of the former Soviet republics became independent nations. It's on the north coast of the Black Sea and real close to, borders Moldova and Romania, where we were talking about that this morning, and then Poland. When they first went to Eastern Europe, they started in Belarus, just north, and they were in a town over here called Mogilev, real small town. Unless you're zooming in on it, you don't, you can't really find it. But sadly, they've returned more to a communism model, and they've removed a lot of the freedoms for Christian missionaries and so forth, and it just became darker and darker and darker. And while all that was happening, and while VMI was kind of being pushed out of Belarus, doors were opening in Ukraine, and that's where Jim ended up going when he left VMI and became an independent missionary. And he's been in Kiev since 1995. So that's roughly contemporaneous with my ministry here. About the same year, 94 or 95, is when he moved from Belarus down to Ukraine. VMI still has one man they support in Belarus, and evidently that's still ongoing, but the opportunities are much better in Ukraine. Not only are the freedoms there, the freedoms are abundant, they're getting better. The economy, as it's tanking, is getting better for Americans because the exchange rate is getting better and their dollars are going further than they have ever gone before. So that's good news. And these other regions, Lviv to the far west of Ukraine, Kharkov to the east, Odessa down on the Black Sea coast, these are locations where former students are established and teaching Bible classes and establishing churches, and we're really seeing a saturation throughout the country, which I think is a really neat blessing. And then in other small towns that are so small they don't show up on a map at this Zoom level, but there are Bible teachers that are being equipped that are serving. And so what I'm going to show you tonight are not only the new pictures of the new students, but some of the former students from 2005 and 2007 that are pastors. They've started churches, they're in ministries of their own, and some of the neat reports that are happening, one of which from 2 years ago has an opportunity in a town in Turkey that's so overwhelmingly Muslim, it's frightening. And there's only one Christian church in the whole town, so Sasha thinks it's pretty ripe to add another one. And they're teaching home Bible classes, and folks are getting saved, and it's just really exciting. And that's another facet, is that I think a lot of the adversary and the adversary's forces are focused on Americans and Westerners and their missionary endeavors. And it's interesting because Ukrainians can go to places that Americans can't get to. And they're traveling to these countries, they're traveling throughout the Middle East, they're getting into Turkey and places where Americans might be harder getting into, the Ukrainians are getting in there, and that's just a neat blessing. Also, Kiev is a university town, so a lot of folks come from Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan, all these other stans and places, and they're going to Ukraine to go to school, and while they're there, they're getting saved, and they're getting under teaching, and they're being equipped to go back to their home countries in some amazing ways. All right. This is the Soviet ugly old style apartment complex that Jim Dumas lives in. And Jim is the host over there for all the visitors that come for short-term missions. Jim as a assistant and partner to Jim Myers many ways. Jim Dumas I'm talking about now. He retired from Southwestern Bell, took a early retirement from the phone company, and he's been living there for, I think, about 8 years now, full-time. Bachelor, single guy. He's got a two-bedroom apartment, and the guest room is permanently available for folks that are coming in and coming through, and it's a neat opportunity for him. I'm just going to cycle through some of these pictures, and then as things jog my memory, I'll give additional information on them. In Jim's neighborhood is one of the newest Orthodox churches, so new it's still under construction. It's been under construction ever since I first went there, and it's still under construction, and will probably take 10 or 15 years more to continue to build. They did get the gold domes up, though, so the domes are in place and painted a bright, shiny gold, and they reflect, and you can see them for ages. But it's still a work in progress. This extension, this wing over here, is new from the last time I was there. Anyway, so the Orthodox are continuing in their thing. More coffee shops popping up everywhere you turn. There's still no Starbucks anywhere in the country, but they are putting coffee bars in a variety of places. This is around the corner from Jim's neighborhood. New high-rise. I asked Jim if he was going to take one of the fancy apartments that were coming in, and they're rather pricey, evidently, but he's looking at it, and if the exchange rate continues to improve, then he may move into some nicer quarters. They put a convention center in and different events that get hosted there. And then this monstrosity. I made a wallpaper out of it, too. This thing is what they call Soviet ugly. It goes back to the Cold War. And what they've tried to do is they've tried to go building by building and give a more modern remodel and give it a more Western look, a European look, and so forth. And this was a project that started out doing that. And the column on the left, they got remodeled and they got it all nice. And then the company that was doing this went broke and bankrupt. And now it's just been sitting there for 10 years like that. I walk past it every day on the way to the subway. And it's kind of a landmark in that neighborhood there. So we could build something like that, you think, over on Cross Park Drive. That would, yeah, I'm telling you, it would get people's attention, though. All right. The one day I actually did any kind of touring was the broken watch fiasco, where I was trying to find a place that would repair my watch band. And Dan found a specialty watch shop at a place called Globus Mall. So I was off on a mission, and I had grid coordinates and the name of a store, and I said, okay, I'm gonna find this place. So anyway, I took a subway adventure on that Saturday, and I found it. That's Globus. Probably can't read that. The Cyrillic alphabet has a few Greek elements, so like the capital Gamma there, but otherwise it's hard to see Globus in that. Anyway, big fancy mall and lots of stores. It's right in the center of town. I mean, this is the center of the downtown region. This is what they call Freedom Plaza, I think is what it's called, and all the Orange Revolution when they had their recent elections and all the turmoil, the protests and booths were right there in that main part of town. A lot of the old architecture. This was an amazing place. All of those buildings kind of occupy their own block, and so six different streets come in like spokes on a wheel, and they all empty into this plaza kind of a thing, and the different buildings are, they put billboards on the top of them. They're really moving into the capitalism mode of thinking here with the billboards on top and things of that nature. You know, I don't read Russian, but that sign grabbed my attention. And anyway, different palaces, different places, and then, of course, the Globus Mall was a little bit unmissable. I did some research on who this lady is up here, and she's some kind of a pagan goddess to the Slavic, pre-Christian, Slavic paganism. And anyway, she had kind of a funny sounding name, I thought. I made a joke about it, and the Ukrainians didn't laugh, so I thought, okay, maybe I shouldn't make such jokes. Anyway, there's Jim and Phyllis Myers, and Jim was actually out of town my first week that I was there. He was in, he has 1 week a year that he travels to Brazil and does a conference there, and the Lipsies are with the Lord as of last year. They were killed in that bus crash, but their children are continuing the ministry there in Brazil, and Jim was delighted to go to Brazil and continue that conference ministry. So he was He was gone the first week when I was teaching classes, and then came back that second week and spent some time with him on Friday before I flew back. Office staff, this is from the previous trip, because that's Titus Kennedy there. Titus was not in Ukraine any longer, so I didn't have a chance to spend time with him. Nina is the school administrator and secretary and a wonderful translator, and translates live for you in class. And then if you have notes, she'll put them into Russian. If you have quizzes, she'll put them into Russian, and then she'll grade the quizzes when they're done. And just a super worker there in the school. These were students from 2 years ago, and this is the fellow here on the right, one of the many Sashas that I've met, but he's the one that you can pray for that is opening this ministry in Turkey and has that real opportunity to do that. And actually, he spent a summer last year or the year before last in Tehran in Iran, and there's an undercover kind of place. And where missionaries are treading some very thin ice and walking very with some wisdom there, so circumspect, as it were. Anyway, he's got a neat opportunity in Turkey, and we're lifting that up. These two brothers here are interesting. Vitaly there on the left, he came back and spent a day, and we visited some, and I had a chance to follow up with how he's doing, the classes he's teaching, what he's done in the 2 years since he graduated, and different things. What's interesting about these two brothers, they went through the school, received their training, entered into ministry, and then their father saw such a transformation in their lives that he, even though he'd been a pastor for 30 years, said, "What's going on in that school? What are they learning? What are they doing?" You know, and so he came and enrolled himself as a student. He was one of my students this year, and just a neat guy named Vladimir. I'll show you his picture, and then he took a lot of these pictures himself. But a neat guy, Baptist, Ukrainian Baptist, but came to get this training himself because he saw what it did for his sons. I spent Monday, had dinner and games with Pastor Victor Munko and his wife, Luda, and their four children, and enjoyed the night there. Victor, turns out he's my age, or he's 40. He'll be 41, I think, this fall. His wife is turning 40 this month or next. Anyway, they're pretty close to my age, and he had been a student 4 years ago, and now he's really the main assistant pastor in Kiev. And when Jim's not there, he's the one that teaches. And I think when Jim finally decides to retire from the pulpit church end of things, then Victor will take that church full-time and be their senior pastor at that point. But he's a good Bible teacher. I heard him teaching last Sunday morning and taught a great lesson that brought home a lot of application for me, and I appreciated that. Found out, I didn't know this when he was a student, but I mean, I knew we were close in age, and I knew he'd been in had a military background. Come to find out this time that he was indeed in the Army, the same time frame I was in the Army. Of course, that was the Soviet Army during the Soviet Union, and I was stationed in West Germany. He was stationed in East Germany, and you know, back in the Cold War, we were the enemy. I mean, that's what it was, you know. And then who would have thought 20 years later that we would have had such a fun night that night. We played Yahtzee and ate food and did all kinds of good stuff. Oleg was one of the first graduates, one of the early students in 2005, and now he's the administrator for the school. And discovered his gift was not pastor-teacher, but administrator, and he's doing a super job with the administration, with the students, and keeping track of their things. That's Victor again, Victor Munko. And there's another Victor. This is the other Victor, who I can never pronounce his last name, so I just call him the other Victor. But he taught the first Wednesday that I was there, and was teaching a lesson on prayer that, boy, I wish I had on tape, or I wish I knew Russian to listen to it again, because I was sitting in the back row and Margaret was translating in my ear while he was teaching on prayer, and it was a delight to hear him teach. Again, Nina on the right and Oksana on the left, she's one of the translators. And also teaches the English classes on Wednesday night. They have an English class right before Bible class that they teach. And of all the English schools in Kiev, they get a lot of students because they don't charge. They offer free English classes to anyone who wants to come and learn. And then when their class is done, they teach from 6 to 7. And when the class is done, they invite their students to stay for English listening practice, which is the Wednesday night Bible study. It's at 7 o'clock. So it's a neat opportunity there. Sasha, again, I can't remember his last name, but he was a student 4 years ago, and then he started a ministry 2 years ago, and now it is a full-scale church with 40 members each Sunday morning that come. Sasha has no arms. He lost his arms in an electrocution accident. And the ministry that he started was to handicapped people with disabilities. And now it's a full church, and he's the pastor of that church, and it's just growing. And I'm just excited to hear the things that are happening there. All right, here's another Soviet ugly architecture type building. This is an elementary school where they meet for church. This is around the other side and the entrance to the school. The church is in the gymnasium up on the third floor. And the students show up every Sunday morning to set up the chairs, to set up the sound equipment, to put up the projector and all that, because it's a gym during the week. Sundays they have to turn it into a church, and so that's an opportunity for the students to volunteer their time. And they got a choir and they sing. Those are the two victors again. And a lady in the middle named Ina, she hosts a Bible study every Friday night in her home. And I've taught in that Bible study before. I didn't teach this time. I just listened while Jim Dumas was teaching. But it's a neat family. Her mother, the grandpa's there, and their three kids and some friends and neighbors that come by. And this is the one where I told you before that we started teaching and then we went late and late, and I couldn't believe how late it was, and I felt horrible and said, "You should have stopped me or told me. I didn't know I was going so long." And the grandpa looked at me and said, "I didn't tell you to stop. You know, you can keep going." So they're definitely hungry for teaching. All right, here's one of the new students. This is a young man named Andrew, and he has some pretty good English skills. They're improving, and he's a Facebook participant that wants to keep in touch with me and keep working on his English skills and things. He's a first-year student, so he's real new. Two other students Sasha on the right and Konstantin on the left. He goes by Kosta is his name, and Sasha is a second-year student getting ready to graduate, but Kosta is a first-year student, so he'll be back again next year. There's Oleg again. This is another Sasha. If you forget a name in Ukraine, just call him Sasha, and you got about a 75% chance that you got it. Anyway, Sasha is one of the earliest graduates that ever went through the school and speaks pretty good English. Has an amazing American music collection. He gave me a DVD with all kinds of Beatles and old jazz and blues and rock and roll stuff from the 50s and 60s. But he's also a very frightening driver, and I don't mind saying that. All right. Singer, just Phyllis there singing with Nina. And my dear sister and translator here, this is Margaret. I'll have some more pictures of her, too. I think I told you before, when communism ended and the first missionary started coming in, she volunteered with every single missionary she could. And she offered translation services for free. She just wanted to learn the Bible. So she was, and now she's done so many translation works and helped with all kinds of pastors, George Meisinger and Robbie Dean and all these guys. And she gets now to where not only is she translating, but she's thinking with you and thinking ahead and thinking different things. And you say something and she'll ask you questions about it. And she'll think, not only will she translate it, but she'll say, "Now, are you going to follow that up with, you know, this other passage over here?" And you go, "Oh, yeah, you know, I hadn't thought of that, but that's a good passage. Let's go there next," kind of a thing. So she's real helpful at that. Good group of kids. They keep getting older every time I look at them. And they have a part there on Sunday morning, then they go off to their classes. Okay, this is fun because when Jim Dumas was here in January of 2008, he was telling us about this girl, Katya, that had been to Madagascar on two occasions. And he gave a report on her trip in Madagascar. Well, that's her. That's Katya. And she's no longer in Madagascar. But that's a boy that she met in Madagascar, a young man. And now they're engaged. They're getting married May 2nd. And he's French. He's from France. And so they kind of warned me. And I said, okay, all right. And so I said, okay, well, that means I have to kind of put all my French jokes on hold, right? And say, yeah, no French jokes while he's here. Anyway, so they introduced me to him. His name is Cedric. Neat guy. And now I'm going to have to just permanently throw away all my French jokes because he is a true believer, a real neat guy. His grandparents were missionaries in Cameroon, and he got saved real young. Anyway, I couldn't be happier for these guys. Wonderful French guy, believer, amazing. All right, that's Andrew again and his little sister. Probably. Now, the girls are either Natalia or Natasha or Tanya. She's Tanya. Yeah, that's her name. Oleg and Sasha, the scary driver. And different folks here at church. Constantine again. This lady, she's the grandmother in that Friday night Bible study. Her name is Valentina. And sweet lady, and her English is better than I think it's ever been. She's I don't know if she's been practicing or working on it, but she's doing real with that. And anyway, she hosts that in her home on Friday nights. It snowed. I was trying to get snow pictures, but the snow was so fine as it was coming down, I didn't think the pictures would pick them up. The warmest I got on that day I went to the mall rose up to 42 degrees, and that was the warmest of any time over there. So I was glad to be back. You know what? I was top down all over Austin today. I drove with the top down, enjoyed the sunshine, because it was just cold. Yeah, there I got some of the branches and things. This is Jim Dumas. This is in his Sunday night class. I was talking to Doug about him. Jim is not only the host there, but teaches on Sunday nights. And then also, for years, he worked with the students to help them with their ministries. That's now been handed off to other folks. But he's got his own ministry there that he works with. It was one of the daughters of one of the students. Spring break happened the second week while I was there, and so a lot of the students and teachers had nowhere else to take their kids, so the kids just kind of hung out in class and did very well listening to Daniel and Revelation. They sat there, they listened, they answered questions, and they were some pretty good students. This girl was wonderful on the violin, and I can't pronounce her name in Russian, but it's Veronica in English. And neat story there. Okay, here's the new crop of kids. This is Sasha and Sasha, and I appreciated them sitting next to each other. So they're both second-year students getting ready to graduate. He's a first-year student. Elia, I think, is it's Russian for Elijah, is his name. And then he would be the third Sasha, but he bailed us out and said, you can call me Alexander. So we called him Alexander, and that kept him from being the third Sasha in the class. Dmitro, or Dmitri, actually, in the Ukrainian rather than Russian pronunciation. And a sharp, sharp student, also the tallest student, so he could reach up and turn the projector on without the remote control. It was good, handy having him there for that. And there's Andrew again, Constantine, and Victor. Victor was one of the older men, and he was the first one I met when I first walked in. There's Vladimir. Vladimir's the father of the two boys that had been students a couple of years ago. And Jin, which I'm not sure is short for something much longer. They said I could never pronounce. They said, just call him Jin, and you'd be good with that. And Margaret, translating. 10 students. I think 6 of them are graduating, second-year students. 4 of them are first-year students that will move on. They hope to expand with the new crop that they're recruiting over the summer to start in the fall. They say that every year. They've got a budget. They'd like to have 20 students, and they tend to end up with 10 to 15. One of these, I think it was this picture here, I put on the Facebook, and somebody was saying it looked like I was giving them a headache. Like, what kind of complicated, deep stuff were they getting, you know? So, but no, they did very well in the, for whatever reason, just he took that picture in a very thoughtful moment in the class. So, but that's what it is. I mean, you're in this room from 9:30 in the morning until 2:30 in the afternoon, and session after session after session with 10-minute breaks in between and a break for lunch. And they hit it hard. They hit it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. They used to go Monday through Friday for shorter time, but then they changed it to Tuesday through Friday, longer days. And that helped the stateside pastors that were traveling on Sunday and Monday to actually get there and have their first class early on Tuesday morning. So they used the same whiteboard to project on, so sometimes you were drawing on it, sometimes you were projecting on it and doing different things. Goodness. I surrendered my camera at one point halfway through, and then I wasn't sure what he was taking pictures of. So. Yeah, there was another one where, am I puzzling these guys? What's really happening? So. And then, yeah, more the kids that were there that day. And They did great. I tell you, they were listening. They were taking notes. They were asking questions. So, all right. Well, there's those. You know, I think the... the thing that encourages me in terms of what we're doing here in the ministry, the training ministry that they have there, you know, we're trying to adapt and bring concepts across, the things that we learned that Ralph Braun did in Brookings, things that Glenn did in Tulsa. We went up to Duluth and saw their approach to training there in Duluth with Dennis Roxer and different things. And now with what Jim Myers is doing in Kyiv. And we're combining these elements here and trying to bring the best of it and the philosophies behind it and so forth. But the encouraging thing is that this is working. We're seeing the fruit of it. We're seeing the ministry, and we're seeing what they're doing after they graduate, because the skills are being built while they're students. And that's back to what I was talking about when I introduced here with Matthew chapter 4. The pattern is, if you're walking by faith and you're serving the Lord, and if you're convicted that those who preach the gospel earn their living from the gospel, that the worker is worthy of his wages, and all these principles Jim is instilling on these guys now while they're students, learning how to walk by faith, learning how to trust in the Lord, learning how to raise support, learning how to pursue the ministry on a faith basis and not resort to the programs or the things that some of the denominations are doing when they go in there on a missionary basis and that. So I was going to highlight the different locations. I already mentioned Lviv, Kharkov, Odessa, some of the different locations where these guys are. Turkey, they are going to these different places, and until they're support base can be built where they are, they're being supported by the group out of Kyiv. So that's a neat extension when we're supporting them every month. It's more than just Jim and Phyllis that we're supporting. It's going beyond them to these other regions. So, okay, questions. We have any questions on anything I've covered or haven't covered or different things? That didn't go as long as I thought it would go. That's okay. Ethel. It's always translated. Yeah, I think Jim's been there that long. Jim's picked up some phrases. Phyllis has picked up a lot more phrases and so forth. But most of the actual Bible teaching is done in English, translated into Russian. The language is interesting because under Soviet domination, Ukrainian was diminished. And they enforced Russian on the Ukrainian people. And their cognate languages, they're close, but they're not identical. And now they've been promoting Ukrainian as their national language in all government business, laws, contracts, legal documents. Public business has to be done in Ukrainian, which the younger people are adapting to much better. The older folks are struggling with it, and they've been Russian speakers all their lives. So there's a bit of a conflict going on in their country right now, but they appear to be holding the course and kind of resurrecting their language on a national basis. So they do, most of the students are fairly bilingual. That's another part of the problem, is when we teach in English, for most of them, that's typically their third language. You know, they're either dominant Russian with Ukrainian as a second, or dominant Ukrainian with Russian as a second, and so English is going to be their third language, and that's interesting. But they like having, because their best Bibles are Ukrainian Bibles. They're the ones that are similar to the New American Standard. They follow the Nestle Critical Text. They have better translation decisions in their text, and so the Russian Bible is kind of like an old King James, and it's got some problem areas and some things. So they will refer to both the Russian Bible and Ukrainian Bible for comparison purposes in their studies. But yeah, most of the teaching is done with translators. Other questions? We might have an early night tonight, which would be okay with me. Steve, you got a couple questions. You know, no, presently they don't. But that did get their attention, yeah. What the Russians did in Georgia really got Ukraine wide-eyed and awake, and they know that, you know, even the Russian dominion over the Ukrainians was not new to the Soviets. Actually, it had preceded the Soviets. The Tsars had dominion over Ukraine as well. So, yeah, they're very aware of that, and they've worked hard to build closer ties to the West, to Europe, to the United States. They're very pro-Western. They've got a. He was describing that some of the politics. There's really three factions in their government, three dominant power brokers in their government, and generally speaking, two of them can gang up on the third, but they kind of rotate which two are ganging up at on which third at which time, kind of a thing. And so there's a lot of chaos, which Jim doesn't mind because if they're so busy fighting amongst themselves, they don't mess around with the missionaries or churches or things like that. So that's. Yeah, that's where they are. But yeah, there's fights over the gas pipelines and different things. They've really got the old Soviet base down at Sevastopol, and that's a big bargaining chip for the Ukrainians, because if they lose that, the Russians have no place for the Black Sea Fleet, and that's a bargaining chip they use in the gas wars there. Yeah. And you had another question, too, to go with that, or not? Not really any change at the moment, because overwhelmingly, Jim says that most of them are completely oblivious to the financial crash. So many of them are rather jaded to the whole news, because one day it's this, one day it's that, and they just kind of throw their hand. They're like Pilate, you know, what is truth? And they just say, you know, how do you know what to believe, kind of a thing. And so, yeah, he really thinks that they are in for some dark times ahead, but the general population at large is still unaware of that, or in denial, at any rate, yeah. Lindsay, do you have a question? It is Ukrainian Orthodox, which is a subdivision of Russian Orthodox, which is a subdivision of Eastern Orthodox, yeah. Although in the far west of Ukraine, this region out here, for many years, it was actually a part of Poland anyway. And this region is Roman Catholic. The western region is Roman Catholic. But this region to the east is Ukrainian Orthodox. And it is very Orthodox. The Lavra, which I went to 4 years ago and again 2 years ago. I skipped it this time, but... where the catacombs, where they kiss the bones of the monks and different things, just disgusting. But they're, Jim calls it the smells and the bells. It's just incense that fills the place, and the bells that gong and the chanting. You go into this thing and the chanting just reverberates through the... It's powerful, absolutely powerful. And even, I think it's mind-altering. Between the chanting and the droning and the bells and the different things, and then the incense, not sure what they're mixing, what kind of herbs they're burning in those incense deals, but you start to walk out of there feeling, you know, different, yeah. So that's what it is. It is a religion and it is a culture. They beat their heads against a lot of that sometimes because they think that, you know, just follow the ritual, follow the culture, follow the religion. And what's interesting, though, is in particular in Daniel, these guys do their Daniel studies and they learn about Michael, the archangel, in Daniel, and he takes his stand to defend Israel. He's one of the chief princes who stands watch over the sons of your people. And the archangel Michael is assigned to Israel. He's their protector. He's their angelic defender. Well, in the Orthodox religion, it's a different story. And in particular, Ukrainian Orthodox, the Archangel Michael is the patron archangel of Kiev. And so you see these Archangel Michael things, different places and statues and icons and whatever else. And culturally, some Ukrainians are, you know, they learn Daniel that he's standing up for Israel, and they have to come to grips with that and accept that as being the Bible. So that's it's an interesting facet on that, yeah. Steve? Not as much. No, if it shows up, where it really shows up is that the Orthodox powers that be would like to be the only game in town like they used to be. And so there are, the mayor and others have talked about kicking out all the Baptists and kicking out all... And by the way, if you're not Orthodox or Catholic, in their mind, that makes you Baptist. It's just kind of a generic term for anything that's not Orthodox or Catholic. But yeah, I think they would like to be the only game in town again, but Jeremiah doesn't see that happening. The freedoms are here, and the missionaries are engaged in that. Yeah, Marcia.
I have a question about the typical student. Mm-hmm. Where does he come from? Does he come from farm industry?
A little bit of everything. Yeah, some of them, a lot of them are from Kiev. Some are from the outskirts. Some of them are from little farm towns and farm villages and things. Some of them are very bright. One of the guys this last time, I think, was a college graduate, was very bright in a lot of ways. And this crop, too, has some guys with some previous theological training, Church of Christ in one case. And he was trying to unlearn some things and having trouble with other things. And because he brought a lot, kind of brought a lot with him when he enrolled in the school. And so, yeah, they come from everything imaginable. Those two brothers were farm kids and sons of a pastor. And there's a good variety in all the students. 2 years ago, there was actually a husband and wife that were both students. The husband was a second-year student. The wife was a first-year student. And now they're in full-time ministry themselves in Kiev right now. So that's good news on that. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. That is correct. They are full-time students. They do not work outside the church. Now, some of the married guys, their wife may work either part-time or full-time or something, but no, the students themselves do not work. And they have, that's what I was going to mention, were their ministries. They have classes during the day. They have ministry at night and on weekends. And a ministry could be a cancer hospital, a children's hospital, a daycare, a jail, or anything, where they find opportunities to give the gospel, to teach a Bible class, to have street evangelism or child evangelism or something. But they are in ministry as a part of their training. And so they're going to be doing that on the evenings and on Saturdays. They're also required to be at every Bible class at the Word of God Bible Church on Sundays, on Wednesdays, Sunday nights. So they take part in that. They staff the Sunday school. They do the chair set up and projectors, and they print bulletins. They do a lot of work for the church itself, yeah. And that's part of, you know, they're receiving. They're not paying tuition, and they're being, they receive a cash stipend every month as well. So anyway, they serve in the church, and they do a variety of different things. Or they live, they've got apartments in different places around town. Yeah, especially the young unmarried bachelors, they put three or four of them in an apartment together and things like that. Yeah, they got different apartments, different places. Yeah. All right, John, you have something? Huh? Uh-huh. Oh, it's more Catholic than Catholic in a lot of ways. They split from, in 1054 was the great schism between the East and West, and they accept the first three or four church councils, at least the early ones before the split, and they're very liturgical, ritualistic. Another feature was all the icons that are all the paintings and cards and artwork and things like that. They actually have very formal robes and costumes and dress for their high priests and the different things. And like up here, they would have a veil of sorts, a doorway, Holy of Holies. And so Catholic churches have a lot of those too, but they're in many cases, they're more ornamental. In the Orthodox churches, they're functional. And at a point in the service, when it comes time to transfer the elements into the, what they think they're turning them into, the body and blood of Christ, what they'll do is they'll take the host and the high priest then in his robes and all that, and they sprinkle the ordin, and they ring the bell and they sprinkle the incense and stuff. Then he actually goes out of sight. He goes into the Holy of Holies behind the veil. And then there's more chanting and more bells, and some time goes by, and then he comes back out. And when he comes back out, theoretically, the host has now been transformed and things like that. So it's and there's no Bible teaching. There's just you follow the liturgical reading, and you might preach at you for 5 minutes. No. I mean, for years, they actually the Eastern Orthodox Church did a great job preserving Greek manuscripts because they never did teach in Latin. They never had Latin rites. They never had Latin teaching. They were always Greek teaching, and so they were a tremendous source of Greek manuscripts for Western Europe in the 16th century. Yeah, but they don't know their Bibles. They don't teach their Bible, and I think that's the big attraction for the Word of God Bible College is these guys are getting Bible for the first time in their lives. Yeah. 66 books, yeah. Oh, in the Eastern Orthodox Church? I'm not sure on that. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Luke? Uh-huh. Well, I think that's one example. With a background that was not dispensational, that struggled with some of those things, issues with the Jewish people. The older man that had been a pastor for a number of years. Most of the Ukrainian Baptists are not like American Baptists. They're Arminian. They don't have eternal security, and they're working very hard to stay saved. And so I don't know how much of that is a problem for Vladimir or not. This is really the first group I'm aware of of students that have had previous theological training in other denominations that it's been a challenge. Yeah, Linty. I don't believe there is a significant Jewish population there anymore. Yeah, there were tremendous executions and. Yeah, there's actually a part of Ukraine I meant to go to, and I still haven't been there, but there's a place where a ravine, actually, where they were forced down into this ravine, thousands of them, and gunned down there in that ravine. So, yeah. All right, anything else? This has been good. I know there were probably other things I intended to talk about, but yes, sir. Well, expanding. He'd like to have a larger school base, and if the dollar to hryvnia ratio continues improving, then maybe he'll have the funds to do something like that. But yeah, they'd like to have 20 students instead of 10. They'd like to actually the place they moved to just dropped in their lap, and they got a steal in terms of the price that they're in now. But they would like to have a facility where they could have the school and they'd like to have the students on campus or in the same building, you know, maybe a school downstairs and apartments upstairs kind of a thing. Right now the school is where it is and then the apartments are in 12 places all throughout the town, different spots. So I think they'd like to have them located in closer proximity in that. Jim and Phyllis actually have a house. They bought a house and they may retire out there or die out there or whatever, go to be with the Lord when the trumpet sounds. But it's I'm not sure if I could find it on here or not. There's a little river. Anyway, they're out in the country. And they got some land. And, no, I'm not going to find it. Give me enough time, though, I will. And I'll plot a little marker on their rooftop. But they got some land out there in the country. They hear the chickens and roosters and animals, and they like it out there. So, yeah, long term, they're going to stay there for the foreseeable future. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. It's a 2-year program. And it's a 2-year program. They teach systematic theology, like we're doing in our PMW ministry workshops. They teach Greek and Hebrew as they have teachers available. When they had Titus there for 3 years, they were able to teach a considerable amount of Greek and Hebrew. Now I'm not sure. Nina's teaching them their Greek, but she's a student herself, and I'm not sure what they're going to do long-term in the language program. And then they do the modules that they teach from the different pastors that come stateside, yeah. It's a massive undertaking, and Jim's just very thankful for all the Americans that can come over and do a module and help in the different things. So, yeah, but yeah, it's a 2-year school that they put them through. All right, well, I'll close this in prayer, and we'll lift up Jim and Phyllis Myers, Jim Dumas, and all the work that's going on over there. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this opportunity simply to be a part of the ministry. And it's, you know, we can read some newsletters and we can send financial contributions each month. But really, Father, I delight in these trips. I delight in these times to travel there and to see firsthand the fruit, to experience the excitement and the joy of seeing former students now in full ministry themselves. And just a real delight, Father, to see what you've done there in that country, in that part of the world. And I thank you for Jim and Phyllis. I thank you for their faithfulness. I thank you that you've sustained their health. Pray that you would continue to do so. Phyllis has mentioned some eye problems, and we ask that you might lift that up and provide for that there. Father, they recently celebrated their 40th wedding anniversary, and we thank you for that. And just pray that you continue to encourage them as they grow together in their marriage and grow together in the Lord. And for the ministry, Father, which is not only in Ukraine, but each year to Brazil, also to Zambia every year for a Bible conference there. And then for the outgoing ministries of the graduated students and the things they're doing. Father, thank you for Victor Munko and his wife Luda, their children, and the blessings of that family. And I just celebrate how faithful you are to bring these things about. Thank you, Father, for all this good report, the encouragement of your working. And we ask that you might continue. And we thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.